Over the last few weeks, I've been meeting up with quite a lot of people who are really looking to connect, and more of them seem to be people who are involved in leadership, pastors, ministry leaders, who are now starting to connect up, which I think is really, really great, because I think, you know, it gives opportunity to share with a greater dimension of people, because you know what we do is going to sort of go further, which is some of sort of inviting Kristen into this group. You know, she's part of a leading a church, wherever it was, called Vallis, is it? I think, you know.
Yes.
So some of that, I think, you know, some of these gatherings are becoming more strategic, and I know God's got a real plan and purpose for them. Particularly, I think, in what's coming in terms of bringing more and more people through into what God's doing and releasing. You know, so it's just great to be involved with it, really. So excellent. So has anyone got anything they want to start off with or share or ask?
I've got a list.
Go ahead. Go with your list.
I have a list.
Go on then. Okay.
Could you expand on needful outworking rooms in your personal mountain and the mountain of God? You know, the places that are really needful, because sometimes if we experience in one place, we don't know that we're supposed to go experience it here and go through it, make sure it's okay. And so there's, you know, like you have your treasury room, your garden, all those needful places. I'm finding out, I go, oh, well, I missed that. I didn't know that one was something that I was supposed to cue into.
Right, sure, yeah. For me, this is where a more systematic approach is helpful, because people have so many encounters and different things and experiences and where they've engaged in different things in that, but don't necessarily know how to pull it all together. And I think, you know, for me, I think that's what I'm finding, is that, you know, these pulling these pathways together so that people can tread on them and make them their own. Is key. So a lot of what I try and do is open up some opportunities for people to engage, and then it's an opportunity for people to go back into those engagements and make them their own pathways, find the unique parts of that which belong to them, and particularly the way God communicates in those places to us individually. So, you know, for me, everything starts with first love. You know, as a principle, everything starts there. Yeah, finding that place where I have personal intimacy, I surrender my daily thing to God, but also my relationship starts with establishing fellowship, intimacy, just being cocooned with His presence, inviting Him to fill my spirit, flow out through my gateways to soul and body and things. So, yeah, that's my first place, and from there, I tend to go wherever I get directed, because I yoke myself to Jesus in that place. My desire is to enter a place of rest and peace, so I yoke myself to Him and look for where He is going to direct me, because He's the chief oxen, if you like, and He's going to lead me as a disciple into the right field to plow in the right direction that He wants me to do today. And so when I yoke myself to Him, it's like I'm entering that place of, you know, learning from Him, because He's gentle and humble in heart. Mm-hmm. And then everything flows out of that for me. And so from there, you know, I might go to my garden and hang out with Him and lie down in green pastures, because sometimes He makes me lie down in a green pasture beside quiet waters. He makes me. That's what it says in Psalm 23. He makes me lie down. It may be not, I might not want to do that, but actually I've learned to, hey, if it's time, I just need to lie down in that green pasture and engage with Him in more personal, intimate stuff about me, my life, things He wants to share with me about me, then I do that there and engage there. You know, if I want to engage in the source and find strength, you know, then I get in the river. You know, I get in the river of life. I drink that living water. In fact, I submerge myself, baptize in that living water, the river of life. You know, as that is my source. You know, I have no other source than that, because he's life. You know, and that will then take me sometimes to the waterfalls in heaven, where deep calls out to deep, and there's places behind the waterfalls and things like that. It takes me to the tree of life and to the throne of grace and the garden of God. You know, so many places which are all about relationship. It's all about intimacy. It's all about me with my identity and in him, that stuff. And that's you know, that's one whole pathway, you know, which is awesome. But then, you know, we also need to understand the pathway of responsibility to rule and to establish kingdom. So for me there, stepping into heaven, presenting myself as a living sacrifice, you know, that pathway now for me is just one I can tread. Sometimes, you know, I come through the cross, through his flesh, through the veil, and I exchange old for new on a daily basis. You know, I don't want to be operating in the old, so I exchange it for new, embrace the cross, you know, in a sense, accept my crucifixion with him, and now we're together. You know, the life I now live in this body, it's like we now live in this body in reality, and I'm living by his faith and what he shows me in that sense. So, you know, that all starts flowing. And along that pathway of presentation, to know what the will of God is for me today, it's that, what is my mandate? You know, what is the Father doing? I want to see what he's doing. You know, whether I'm seeing that visually or just getting a total perception and knowing what it is he's doing, then, you know, I'm looking to engage. And sometimes he will have me stop at the laver and look into the mirror where I should see a reflection of the glory of God. And sometimes I see that, and sometimes I see something which is somewhat of a distortion of that. And often that's where, you know, a submission to his word in my life will begin to sort of take shape, you know, going on into the, you know, the light and the seven spirits of God and the altar of incense. And ultimately, it's like, you know, the government of my life is surrendered. So I engage around the ark. And I think the ark, in my personal experience, that is where I spend most of my time now when I'm looking to engage in what is God's will today. I want to go before the ark. I want to begin to meditate around the names of God. I want to see that connection where I form an ark with the cherubim there, so that I can look into God's purposes and person, and then I can step into it, you know. And then I begin then to see from the perspective of the four faces of God, you know, bringing government and bringing connection between heaven and earth. You know, and often we often gravitate to one face, but I have to administer the kingdom in my spheres of influence, and I need all four faces of God and the revelation of who God is in that to enable me to do that. You know, I gravitate towards the eagle and the apostolic. That's where, you know, I want to see the bigger picture, I want to see what's above, I want to look down from that perspective. But I have to look at the disorder around my life and say, I need to see out from the king's eyes. And I need to speak out from the eyes of the king and administer the kingdom in that way. Sometimes I need to see what is to come, you know, so I need to see the purposes of God from the prophetic sense. And, you know, I tend to less gravitate towards the priestly function, but sometimes I have to engage people and engage interceding, standing in the gap for people, bringing compassion, feeling the heart of God, so that everything gets fleshed out and earthed out in reality. So I need to be able to see through the priestly function and speak out. If I'm going to administer the kingdom correctly around my life, that is where I look to engage. I open my heart there. I want the testimony of my scroll to start to get unveiled there. I want to come into resonance with the frequency of God's will And that's what I tend to try and do. It's like, okay, what is your will? What are you vibrating with? Because that vibrating, hovering of the spirit is what brings order. And so I want to step into that order and connect with it. And so I'm looking to resonate, and the greater frequency brings me into alignment, and you get harmony and all those things there. So I do spend a lot of time there before I feel, okay, now I feel clear. I have a mandate for today. And sometimes that's very specific. Sometimes it will come very clearly as a vision. Sometimes it will be very clearly that God actually just says to me what it is, speaks clearly what it is. You know, sometimes I know my heart has been touched and is being drawn today towards certain things, and I gravitate towards certain things in my day. You know, but I'm very much looking to operate from, I want to see what the will of God is for me today, and I want to operate in it. Once I've established that, then I have authority. You know, I have Aaron's rod, if you like, the scepter. I can then go to my mountain. I then, that's my next port of call, is to go to my mountain. What from that I've received around the ark in terms of a mandate or my heart will be released from that mountain. And there I then sometimes think, no, I need to get angelic assignment, so I might go to the court of angels. And therefore, I take that mandate, I open my heart there. Then there's assignment. Sometimes if there's something new, I need to go to the Court of Chancellors. I need to, or sometimes I need a strategy, so I need to go to the strategy court, Court of War. And there'll be places you go depending on what you've engaged with around the ark. You just know, I need to go here, I need to go there. If I have any doubts, I'll go to Wisdom's Heights, and I'll spend time engaging wisdom, because, you know, it's in Proverbs 8, in 14 to 16, you know, wisdom is there to help me rule as a king or a prince or a noble, and she's there to help me rule in righteousness and justice. And she has such revelation and depth of wisdom and insight that I go there, and sometimes she'll take me through a door, sometimes I get access into the realm of the mountain of God. Through the gate. Sometimes I'll just engage ancient paths there and find myself going in a particular direction. You know, but there's so many places, you know, you go, but I don't just go because I can go. I go because I need to go. You know, and there are great forerunner experiences, and, you know, I tend to open the door for people to go to places simply because they just haven't encountered there. Then hopefully they'll learn to go back there when they're able on their own. You know, when they're able to administer in kingship, then you get access to the court of kings, you get access to the court of the upright. So you can engage with the men in white linen according to particular mandates and different things. But, you know, it all flows out of resonating with the will of God and having our hearts tuned into that. You know, because I mean, there's, you know, I mean, I'm mapping it out as I go. So, you know, I have a map of the different places I've been and the different places of where they relate, you know, places I need to go back to because, you know, they were an experience that will draw me back. Places I'm very familiar with because I've trod that path and I can go there whenever I need to. But there's so many different places. I mean, it's, you know, yes, I think there is a process of what you do when you get a fresh mandate. You know, you get it authorized. You know, you can do things with it. But in general, you know, it flows out of that place around the Ark of God. You know, because that is looking into past, present, future. Everything is contained there. You know, I've certainly found recently engaging with the Firestones. Where the river of fire flows out from the throne of God, and I found that my throne there. In fact, this morning I got invested with a whole different thing. You know, it's been leading up to it, but I've sort of been experiencing things in terms of chancellorship, and I was given a seal of chancellorship a few weeks ago. I've used it once to gain access to somewhere. But this morning, you know, I was taken to the throne I was familiar with, but I was given presented with this seal and with a staff to use it as well. And there are things that happen like that. You know, I know what that means. I need to engage in Kingdom Protocol and develop 12 laws that come out of Zion. That is what God is calling me to do, and to engage with the 12 houses of the chancellors. You know, it's like, how do I know that? I just know. You know, it was imparted to me on the firestones. You know, I've been and been shown them. I've been into the court of the Council of the Fathers. All that stuff comes out of engagement, and my spirit has been encoded with it. It's like, you know, I was on the firestones, and in my first encounter, very first encounter with heaven, was on those firestones, and it was all to do with the nine stones, the nine fruit of the Spirit, engaging with the very person and nature of God at a deeper level. You know, when I went back, I thought I was going to get more of that, which I did, but actually it took me into a whole different ballpark, because at a deeper level, those firestones release kingdom protocol and governance, and understanding the ways of God and the nature of God, the precepts, the ordinances of God. You know, I stepped on, and my mind could not contain or even remember everything that I was receiving, but my spirit was encoded with it. It was like I knew my spirit was just enlarging as I was standing on those stones, you know. And you know, personally, that's taken me to a different level of things. And now I'm responsible. You know, when I was in ignorance, it was great. Now I'm not in ignorance, and now I'm responsible to go and find out more. How does this protocol work? How does that chancellor operate? You know, what do they do? What am I supposed to do in regard to that? How am I supposed to operate that? And it opened up a whole different place, you know, where I'd never been before. And I found that I was taking somewhere to a place I'd never, and the only time I've ever done it, I've never taken anywhere to a place I've never been before. But I felt this came out of this encounter with the Firestones. And I was able to take some people to the heart of God. And actually, the heart of God is in the realm of eternity, where God was. And it's like, it was where I was conceived. And it was like where the thoughts and the mind and the heart of God is. And it was amazing. I was just like, just the things that were flying around in there were amazing. But I felt totally at home. And the people I took there were just like, wow, Sometimes I laugh when I see people's expressions when they come out of some of these places. But it all came from a willingness to engage and just respond to what my spirit was starting to lead. So many different places, you know, I'm working at putting it all together into a nice map and pathway so that, you know, I can teach people how to do it and help people to engage for their pathways. You know, because not everyone will operate at that level, but we all operate at a level that God has called us so that we can administer the kingdom in the spheres of the government that we've been given. And ultimately, we're all called to be creative and to release that creativity from our spirit as we're made in the image of God and birth things. You know, as God birthed us out of his heart, he calls us to birth things out of our heart. The desires of his desires are placed in us, you know, and that's something which recently I've just begun to, you know, encounter more of the feeling of what it is to birth. You know, not that I'm as a lady ever experienced that, but I have sat in on four of them and watched, you know, and I did get better at actually helping rather than hindering the process. So I know that God can teach us how that births things from our spirit and then breathe life into them, because we're called to be like God in that, you know. And that can be simple things, it can be bigger things, but it, for me, it starts with intimacy in relationship, and then, you know, being willing to take responsibility and be a son, you know, and actually be a co-heir. You know, and when I was seated this morning, that was the sense that I was given as I was given this seal and staff. You know, you are a co-heir. You know, and you know, You know, I cannot explain in English words what that really means, but I know something just grew in my spirit as those words were spoken over to me, even this morning. You know, so, you know, it's a journey that we're on, and there's so many places you can go. But I would encourage, certainly, you know, in relationship, the garden of our heart and our own spirit, you know, with around first love and the ark in the realm of the kingdom, as starting places really that lead on to others when we engage them. So if that helps. Oh, there you go. Okay. Anything else? It's been I think some of you, just unmute yourself whenever you want to share something. So.
Yeah. She said she had a list, so I'm willing to just let her go through her list. She's purposed that. Unless someone else has something.
Go with what you want to, really. I'm happy to whatever.
Do you want me to ask another one?
Absolutely.
Okay. Go on then.
Oh, thank you very much.
Okay.
So when you're working with people, so we're encountering, and I'm able to lead people into encounters and pathways and those kind of things, and sometimes I hesitate because God seems to speak to us one way, but you know, as far as is mandates and those kind of things, but I my inner self wants to know, well, how did this happen if I'm not aware that they sit on the seat of their mountain? Yeah. And they're not aware of it, and so I was kind of like, but God's talking to us that way as a group.
Sure. Well, I believe that, you know, if you've been given responsibility in that area in a group, and I asked the same question when I first started engaging with mentoring, people were at such different levels, you know, is it okay to take someone there when they've not done this and not done that? And I felt, you know, I asked for a mandate in the morning for each group. You know, am I, you know, do you want me to go somewhere? Is there a freedom to do something? So, you know, I make sure that I'm not stepping outside of any boundaries. But what I believe God really said, you know, if you open the door, because I engaged in the garden of God once, and, you know, normally in the garden of God, I just exist. It's just like I am. I be. And I don't do anything in there other than just allow myself to connect up with God and different things in the universe. Weird stuff happens there because he takes me to places. But I was in there, and he said, look up. And I I looked up, and all of a sudden I could see this mountain, this golden mountain. I thought, well, I've never seen that before. And so he said, well, you've never looked. You know. So I looked, and there was this golden mountain. So I sensed it was okay to go there. So I went there. And on the mountain was one of the angels of the living creatures, Metatron, who is the keeper and the timekeeper. And so he gave me this big golden key, you know. And I'm like, ooh, great. You know, what's that going to open? And he said, well, that gives you the capacity to open doors for people to step through. And so I know I'm mandated to open the doors. But what happens is some of those experiences will just be future inspiration for people to go further. And some people will experience things at a level. They may see something, but they don't fully understand or engage. They may perceive something but not have a full understanding of it. But it should be something that their spirit then latches onto that says, I want to come back here. I want to learn how to do this. I want to learn how to engage there. And that's how I sort of operate it. So I'm not too concerned you know, I know that if somebody, you know, I can take someone around the ark, Jesus can take them there, they can go on a mountain, but if they've not worked through presenting themselves as a living sacrifice and transforming their lives, the level of authority that they will be operating in, even if they are on a mountain, will be limited by the level of holiness and transformation that has taken place. So unless you've worked through dealing with the three levels of transformation, looking to clear, you know, the sort of the skins that are on the outside and the behavioral patterns, the thoughts and intentions of the heart, and the bone and marrow and the genetic seed line, bloodline stuff, unless you're willing and prepared to really allow God to do that, because he's the high priest, it's his responsibility to prepare me so I can serve him, but I certainly have to cooperate and be proactive in presenting myself. You know, he won't grab me and put me on the altar. I have to present myself. Once I'm on that altar, he can do whatever he wants. You know, and if he wants to deal with something in my heart, he can. If he wants to deal with something in my mind, he can. But, you know, I spent quite a long time developing that whole sense of how transformation can take place. And that yielding to levels of deepening intimacy, but also deepening purification and refining, opens up different levels of engagement. You know, and if we're still operating in a stewardship level and we've not yet become a friend of God, it's unlikely that we're going to have much authority in lordship. But as we step out of stewardship and step into friendship and intimacy, then God starts to share his heart, which then once we take his heart and we're pursuing his heart, then he's able to establish us and invest us with lordship. And then we start to operate in lordship on the mountain. But if we're not faithful in lordship, then he's not gonna invest us into kingship. And if not kingship, not into sonship. So it really depends on faithfulness and a willingness to surrender and to make sure that what we're doing is for him, not for us, and that type of stuff. So, you know, you can engage someone in something, but they won't be able to operate there unless they're really willing to pursue the whole package, really. You know, and ultimately, going somewhere creates an opportunity and a testimony to go back, so that experience can become an anchor that anchors it in reality. Wow, I went there. You know, that is a testimony I have. And from that position of security, I then can go back, and it becomes a doorway back into it again. But if you don't go back into it again, then you don't create the pathway of treading on that to go back, so that it becomes something which is actually ingrained within you, that you then don't have to consciously think about. It becomes part of your unconscious mind that you can access that pathway. But you have to tread down that pathway a number of times before it becomes something valuable and not shredded. You know, it's like the shredder shreds up information that we don't value. It's that which we repeat which becomes valued, because it's stored then as a value. Hey, you're doing this over and over again. This must be important. I will register that, and the neural pathways will form in my mind, and it will be attached to the memories that I've stored in my heart of engagement that I can keep going back and back and back. And most people aren't prepared to pay the cost to develop the pathways, you know, and there's a limit, you know, and I won't become a mediator for people who aren't prepared to pay the cost, because otherwise I'll just be recreating an old order. People will be looking for me so they can get to heaven, rather than, no, this, you have to be of your own pathway of development. And there is always a risk when we're leading groups or mentoring people that they become dependent on us. And we have to really be careful in continually re-emphasizing the need for them to have their own pathways and their own engagements. Because they're then their own experiences which will enable them to rule and to engage from that way. So, you know, I think if that helps.
Excellent.
Okay. Okie dokie. Right. Anything else? I don't think I've hung out with Mike and David for about a month of being away. So how's things going with you guys?
Yeah, I actually had, it's been going well. I actually have a question out of what you were just talking about with the three levels of transformation. Yeah. I was wondering if maybe you would be able to go into a little depth about what those three levels look like.
Yeah. When you engage within the garden of your own heart or within your spirit to invite the river of life to flow, and you're opening those gateways of access for God and His glory and being one with you to engage soul and body and atmosphere around you, you're flowing from the inside out. And so everything there is transforming or opening from the inside out. So, you know, as my spirit and God's spirit become one, then, you know, as I deal with, you know, the blockages and familiar spirits within my spirits, you know, on the other side of my spirit, with my soul, then, you know, I'm just creating a flow. And there's a process of inside out, engaging with God, allowing God to engage, so that my soul actually does not look for the outside world for its needs. It knows its needs can be met out of the relationship with the Father, with the Son, and the Spirit. Everything can be met from there. So that's the flow from inside out. And that is the precursor, really. That sets the scene. My soul is open to my spirit. My spirit starts governing, soul leading. My soul just has basically found what it's always been looking for. And in finding what it's always been looking for, it cooperates and I'm becoming integrated as a whole person. So that's the precursor for that. Then once I begin to step into the realms of heaven and responsibility, it's a process of going from outside in. I start on the outer courts and I go in into the Holy of Holies and then beyond. And that's where, you know, Hebrews 4:12 comes in. You know, the Word of God is living and active, and that's obviously a person, not a book, to the dividing of soul and spirit, thoughts and intentions of the heart, bone and marrow. And so, you know, I've done a 20-part series of teaching on it, transformation, which I think is ideal for anybody who wants to start this process, because it goes through systematically exactly what you're asking. But in a sense, the process of transformation mirrors the process of presenting as a living sacrifice. God is going to prepare me. I just have to surrender. You know, I present myself to Him daily. He then takes me and He starts to prepare me because I open up myself. So the first thing was, okay, I'm dead. You know, the first thing the high priest did to the animal was he slit the animal's throat. It died, you know. So that was the first thing. So I'm crucified with Christ. I'm coming through the cross to engage this process. I'm daily denying myself, taking up the cross, and applying that for transformation in my life. So, you know, that's the first sort of step to that process. I'm coming that way. So then the next thing to the animal, they skinned it. So the skin is removed. So the outer skins are the layers we've built up in our lives to cope with life. And so that might be defense mechanisms, coping mechanisms, things that we've done to protect ourselves, to cope with the things that have happened in our life. And we allow God to remove those skins. And that can be quite difficult because we've built those things up to cope. So I have to be willing to let go of the way I think, way I act, how I've developed, looking after myself, providing for myself, all the external behavioral patterns that, you know, I have, that I now need to say there are new ways that God is going to bring me into revelation of His kingdom and seeking first the kingdom so that righteousness I operate in. And so the first layers are all those things. Then it gets deeper. Once that's been removed, then it's like, okay, they opened the animal up and took all the entrails out, and it was like exposed everything on the inside. So really, that's the search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, put me on trial, if you like, in the courts to show me my anxious thoughts, and then show me if there is any wicked or idolatrous or iniquitous way within me, right down to a genetic level. So the second layer, if you like, is thoughts and intentions of the heart. What are the motives of my heart that have led to my behaviors, and how am I motivated in ministry, in serving, in being a Christian, if you like? What are my motivations? Am I looking for approval, affirmation, encouragement from people? Am I looking for the approval of man? Am I operating in the fear of man? Am I trading on any of the trading floors to have one of those things met in my own life rather than God meeting it? What have I traded on? You know, and it comes out of motives. What have I exchanged? You know, have I given something to the enemy for a quick, easy answer in my life? And I had to go through all the trading floors and go through that process of where the motives of my heart were impure and not refined. And so my heart is open for refining, for purification on its motives and that. But then there's a deeper level. You know, what is in my life as a result of generational things? What sins of the fathers have been passed to me? You know, what is in my bloodline, which usually represents the different ites, nations, and the Canaanites and the Ammonites and all those ites. There are kings that look to rule, and they look to rule in us. And some of them, because of generational things, have access to us. You know, there are things in my blood, but there are also things within my DNA, you know, actually seed which needs transformation. And so I can apply the body and blood of Jesus. I can use communion to apply the DNA of God. Lots of different ways of being transformed. But the main thing is presenting myself and allowing God to do it. You know, I don't go fishing for things. I present myself. I allow him to tell me whatever he wants to do, and then I listen. But I have to be willing. You know, if the motive of my heart is such that I'm afraid to see what's there, then that needs to get exposed before I'm going to be willing to surrender. You know, and each yielding to those levels will bring us rewards, you know, in a sense of authority. Now, that isn't, again, for us, it's to administer the kingdom and see God's will and God's purpose outworked on earth as it is in heaven. And so in this process, you get over yourself a lot, you know, and you realize, hey, it's just not worth arguing. You know, I'm not going to go to the courts and argue about this issue. I'm going to agree with my adversary. I'm going to learn how to find my accusers. What are the familiar spirits got against me? You know, and all that stuff is part of the process, which brings us into a deeper level of wholeness, but also gives us access into different levels in the realms of heaven. Now, you can access the ark. You can be on your mountain and operating, but the degree of authority and power that you do so will be limited by the degree of transformation that there is. Because Jesus really is not stupid. He is not going to give us the authority to speak creatively when we would kill people with that authority by our words. So, you know, he knows what we can cope with. It's not to say that it's not a challenge or a stretch at times, because it's always a stretch when he asks us to step into another dimension of authority and begin to operate in it. But, you know, in this process, I've found that it has been very, very transformatory, and it's allowed me to gain access to things. Now, it's taken me years. You know, it's not something that's happened overnight, but I know that by sharing my experiences, other people can do that in months rather than years. If they're willing to show the same sort of commitment and perseverance and persistence that I showed. You know, I am disciplined. You know, so I will pursue something until it's sorted. You know, and that's part of my nature, I suppose. But I will pursue the desires until I find answers for it. I won't give up. And God's looking for that. He's looking for people who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, because they'll be satisfied. You know, and I found satisfaction. You know, at the start of this process, I would echo U2's song. You know, I still haven't found what I'm looking for, because I know my spirit was just longing for something that it hadn't found. Even though, you know, I'd done signs and wonders and miracles and all sorts of stuff, that wasn't it. It was actually finding heaven and finding my place in that realms of heaven. That's what I found. You know, and now I've found what I'm looking for, and I'm just going deeper and deeper into it. So I'll do whatever it takes to get anything sorted that's a hindrance or a blockage. You know, so I've found that, you know, the way up is down. You know, you humble yourself, you cast your crowns continually before the Lord. It's all about Him. Then He begins to entrust you with all sorts of authority and shows you things that you didn't even know existed. You know, it's things I've seen I didn't dream of, because I didn't even have the grid reference for dreaming about them. But I've seen some things like that, which are awesome things, you know, simply because I guess I've been willing to pursue. And God looks at the hunger and the desire in our hearts. So we don't have to be perfect to be used. So long as we're on the journey, He will use us whatever level we got. He's looking for willing servants, in a sense. So He'll use us in whatever state. And, you know, some people, He uses people who are in deep sin. And He still uses them to see people saved. And they still, you know, it confounds me sometimes. I think, how can you do that? But actually, He does, you know. But I know when it comes to heaven, you know, the soul doesn't work in heaven. You know, it just doesn't function. And if I'm operating out of the soul and operating out of memory, it just isn't effective. You know, I might be going through saying the right things. You know, I can use the protocols, but the effect they have is limited. You know, but once He invests you with authority, then that He entrusts you with that, then He begins to train you and tutor you to use it. You know, so engaging with the seven spirits of God and learning and understanding positional authority and understanding what it is to exercise authority and to do that in righteousness and justice becomes this process and learning how to engage. So, you know, I can sum up, you know, a 20 part series in a few minutes, but that's the gist of it, you know.
Yeah. Where would I be able to find that? Is that Awesomer online?
Yeah, you just go onto the resources website and you can download it there. Yeah. Okay. It comes with all the PDFs and stuff, so it's loads of material. But it does take, you know, I know there are several groups that I'm connected with that have been working through it for quite a long time. Because, you know, it's systematic. You know, it'll take you right through the process. Teach you about sin and iniquity and transgression and how that works. It goes into DNA and seed and how we can have seed from the past and other things. You know, it goes into it in a reasonable amount of depth. You know, so that people can take it and use it and find that they can step into those realms themselves. So yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Okie dokie. How's about you, Mike? Are you? How's things going with you?
I had to unmute it. Going pretty good. It's all I can say. It's like baby steps with me. I just continue to. I mean, I would say that from a knowing it in my my heart and getting these understandings to the place where, you know, they're undeniable to me, Yeah. But the moving from, you know, that knowledge and even that understanding to experience is like a long road for me for some reason. And, you know, it is what it is. So I'm just going to continue to pursue, continue to be grateful for every little, you know, step I make, every little hurdle I get over, and continue to present myself the best way that I know how, and continue to worship the Lord. And I believe that He's got me on this journey. He's the one who grabbed my head and said, "Quit looking over here and start looking over here." So, if He's the one at work in me for His good pleasure, He's going to be the one to continue to, I believe, lead me on this journey as long as I submit to Him. So
absolutely, yeah. And I think you're probably taking greater steps than you think. Because there's a lot of preparation that's going on behind that will enable you to step into something in the future. And of course, I think those that are responsible for groups of others, actually, it's not necessarily always going to be easy for. Because you're going to have a whole load of people that are going to say, "Oh, it's easy for you. Oh, I can't do it." But you're going to say, "It wasn't easy for me 2 years ago. But actually now I can, and actually here's some things that can help." Because you'll have your own personal experiences of overcoming and learning engagement and the steps that you personally can help people follow, which will be invaluable on the journey for people. You know, because, you know, I share some of my things. It's when people have their own personal experiences that they share, then it becomes more real for the people who are listening to people's personal testimony and how they learned to engage and how they learned to overcome. You know, so I think, you know, you're in the place where God wants you to be, and he's moving you. You know, those things, just the fact that you're saying that there are things established in your heart is a major issue, because once they're established in your heart, they will lead you and draw you and will open the door into what you're looking for. You know, but again, you know, just don't look just to engage in, "Well, I can't see it," because, you know, you are knowing it. Knowing is really, really important. Your spirit knowing something is more important than your image is forming in your mind. You know, and I rely so much more on knowing than I do just seeing something in engagement. Because my spirit communicates me in knowing all the time. Because that's the language of the spirit. It's not, the language of the spirit is not necessarily visual. Certainly for me. Not to say that my imagination does not engage and I can see, but I know an awful lot more than I see. You know, and that's absolutely perfect. And for me, it makes no difference whether I see it, feel it, know it to the reality of his existence and what happened. You know, when I engaged this morning on that throne, you know, I wasn't visually engaged too much, but I heard God speak to me in a flow of thoughts, and I knew where I was, and I felt what I was experiencing, even though actually it wasn't very visual. But I've learned not to bother, you know, whether it is or not. That's some of it. I can try and engage, or God can project something and show me something, but I don't believe it matters too much, you know. And I know people want to see, but actually it's perception that counts. It is actually having the perception of spiritual things rather than it being "I see in a vision." Because, you know, as I've said before lots of times, you can have a wonderful vision and have no idea what the interpretation of that vision is. And then you'll need to have to go back to get the interpretation, or you'll need someone else to help you interpret it. Whereas if you know something, you know it. You know, I know certain things because I know my spirit is there. So when my spirit steps into the realm of heaven, it's like I'm still connected to my soul, and the communication lines sometimes will be visual, sometimes will be description, which is most of the time with me, as a description of knowing something. Sometimes it's thoughts and impressions, but I'm connected. You know, and I guess some of us are different in that we may have a prominent connection more than others. You know, my first encounters and all sort of the first 80-odd, you know, encounters on my fast in heaven were all first-person visual encounters. So they were very real, but I needed that because I wouldn't have believed it otherwise. You know, I wouldn't have necessarily trusted it. But since then, I've learned to develop my spirit and my spiritual senses to be able to perceive the spiritual realms around me or the realms of heaven. And I've learned to actually engage in the frequency of heaven, which I pick up and my spirit communicates. And that isn't visual mostly for me. Now, it may be visual for other people. I'm not saying it is, it can't be, but I don't hold everything to it. If I see it, I believe it. Because the reality is, actually, that isn't really faith anyway, is it? You know, I need to believe if I don't see it. And God always responds to faith, you know. So my walk is a walk of faith. And actually, you know, when I went through a 4-month period of not seeing absolutely anything, because I was in that dark cloud and I was kept in that dark cloud and I just had to wait and rest and be still and do nothing, I learned to trust God. You know, I learned to trust him in not seeing anything. And to go into the very intimate place with the person of God, you have to go through that dark cloud. And you aren't going to see anything in there. So you've got to take steps of faith in darkness to engage in the ultimate light. And we go through seasons of testing on that. You know, and you know, that season was the hardest season of my life. You know, a 4-month period, having had 2 years of daily visual encounters, really, to not seeing anything. But God was teaching me something deeper about trust and learning to know him without understanding with my mind or my visual understanding, but knowing my spirit was to know. And that, you know, I praise and thank God for that 4-month period now. Because, you know, I can understand where people are when they can't see, but I also know that the reality of my relationship with God deepened through that period, didn't get less, because I actually learned to trust him and realized what I thought was trust wasn't so much trust. It was, okay, when I understand and you tell me everything, then it's okay. But what if you don't tell me anything? Am I going to trust you then? And I had to come to the point where, yes, I do. You know I do. I know that I do. Now we're on a whole different level of relationship. You know, and since then, he has opened up the whole understanding of things in the realms of heaven in terms of protocol like I didn't have before. You know, but I had to go through that period. But it was, you know, it was well worth it now looking back. Didn't feel like it at the time, you know, but now I really do value it, and I wouldn't have it any other way, because I now see a bearing fruit from it. Hopefully, you know, other people won't need to go through 4 months. They may go through 4 days. That would be great. You know, I've certainly found when I've embraced revelation that God's brought to others that they paid the cost for, it's been easier for me to engage, and that's my prayer and my desire, is that anything that's cost me time and energy and persistence to open up a doorway, other people can follow and it will be easier for them. I'm not saying that they won't have to pursue it, but it will be easier. And that's my desire, that I can make it easier for people. But, you know, God knows our hearts. And if we're looking for an easy ride, then you know, we're in the wrong game, really, because it's like it's a battle, and we have to overcome, and we have to learn to rule, and we have to learn to defeat the enemy in lots of things, you know. And if we can't defeat him in our own lives, we're never going to defeat him in a town or a city or a nation, you know. So we get to practice on us, that gives us then the authority to be able to do that on a wider sphere, which is great. So my encouragement, yeah, keep going. It's like, you know, you are you, things are happening and things are changing, even though it might not be at the pace or, you know, things you think. But keep going with it. You know, keep persevering, because I know God is going to open that up for you to bring a whole lot of other people through into it, without a doubt.
You were talking about being crucified with Christ.
Yeah.
And I did have a, and I want to go back really, because a revelation was coming, and I was meditating and just you know, just chewing on the fact of his crucifixion, but then all of a sudden the best way I could say it is that through his eyes, or my eyes, I don't know the difference now.
Yeah.
I saw the people as he was hanging on the cross. So in other words, I was like, for a moment, it's like I was seeing out of his eyes.
Yep.
And the revelation of that being crucified with him was so much stronger. In other words, it's not just, it wasn't just a, a, you know, again, a, for lack of a better term, something that's symbolic,
yeah,
that had spiritual weight, but it was somehow, some way, a physical act that was done at the same time. God was able to, and I always thought it was my sins that was put on him, but I had no idea that literally when I identify with him, that I am then also, just as much as he was on the cross, I was on the cross.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, well, that's
and that was brand new for me, and I shared a little bit on Sunday. I could see people's eyes like, what?
Yeah, but that's being in him, you know.
Yeah.
That's the level of identification that we do need to have. When we step into the realm of heaven, we come through the veil of his flesh, we come through the cross. And
right.
The first step of any presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice is, hey, I'm dead. You know, it's actually, I'm dead. I was crucified with him, and I can identify with it. You know, and I have had that sort of experience. I've also been standing before the cross looking at him, which is, oh, it's like looking into his eyes is the most emotional experience you can have. When, you know, and I've done that a couple of times, brings tears to my eyes now thinking about it, because it was just the love in his eyes, you know, and you look, even though his whole form is marred, you can just look at, you know, the joy that was set before him, you know, for relationship with us, you know, he did that. So it's a powerful thing, definitely, you know. So yeah, I mean, so again, that's awesome, isn't it?
You know, it is.
Like, that's an amazing encounter, you know. Yeah, go back to it, draw from it everything that's yours in it, and I'm sure that again will be a stepping stone onto things, because in a sense, you know, that is the first step of engaging through the realms of heaven. Is you've got to come through the cross. You know, we cannot bypass the cross. We have to go through it and realize that we have been on it, and we reckon ourselves, you know, dead, and present ourselves alive, you know. And it's like, you know, I no longer live, but then I do live, but we now live. That's the greatest thing. It's like, it's now we really now live. And the life we live in me is this unity and being one and oneness with the Spirit, which is awesome. So, yeah, awesome stuff. So, excellent.
Well, you're probably going to get going.
Yeah, I've got to